Disclaimer: the views in this article are not necessarily official doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. As per DMC 91, read with the Spirit who manifests the truth. I ask you to begin with a prayer and end with a prayer to confirm the truths contained herein. Introduction: this is the fifth in a series of articles about the seven levels of mankind. These articles are additive, so I recommend you begin with reading the article linked above and so on. Matthew 7:13 Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14 Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This statement by the Savior near the end of the Sermon on the Mount seems rather harsh. Only a few people find the path to heaven? That doesn't sound like a loving God, right? Shouldn't there be a more loving plan where most people can find the path? Can't we widen the path a bit? There is a principle at play here. These are questions that are answered by these articles on the seven levels of mankind. As you ascend the levels, there are fewer and fewer souls. There is one level 8 soul, Jesus Christ. There are seven level 7 souls, though I believe the sign on September 23rd marks the ascension of the 8th level 7 soul. The following are some questions to get the pondering minds and hearts stimulated. What was Adam on the Ammon and why was it in Missouri? Where was the city of Enoch? Why are there two promised lands? Why was Jesus born in the meridian of time and not at the beginning? Why did the last dispensation start in America? Part 1, Numbers. The further down we descend the levels of mankind, the more souls exist at each subsequent level. Below is a graphic that demonstrates this concept. In the first few articles in this series, I make the case that each dispensation relates to the levels of mankind in reverse order. In the previous article, I discussed the symbolism of the rainbow with the levels of mankind and the double rainbow, which is why I use the colors of the rainbow in the image above. The double rainbow symbolizes the inverse order of dispensation and levels, as well as the inverse relationship of ascent and descent. The further you ascend, the further you must descend until you descend below all. Only then can one ascend above all. Joseph Smith is over the baseline, which is why he was called to bring forth the dispensation of the fullness of times wherein the temple work was begun. There are presently 157 temples, with 12 under construction and 13 announced. His ministry began the work to ensure everyone gets a chance to accept the gospel and move on. Peter's ministry began the time of the Gentiles. In fact, this inverse order helps one understand why Jesus appeared to the Jews and bridged the time of the Jews to the time of the Gentiles. He appeared right between these two orders. Why? The Gentiles are those souls who must leave the world to join Israel. They must overcome the natural man. As you move in reverse chronological order to ascend the levels of mankind, then the Jews may very well be the least of the tribes of Israel. This is further evidenced by the fact that the 1,500 years between Moses and Christ was the only dispensation that included the lesser law of Moses. The northern kingdom of Israel was carried away captive in 722 BC, so from 722 BC to the time of Christ may be called the time of the Jews, though Benjamin was the other tribe that remained after the ten were carried away. From the time of the Abrahamic dispensation to Moses, Israel was enslaved for 430 years, Exodus 12:40, so, the time of the Gentiles is 2,000 years, the time of Israel is 1,500 years, and the time of Abraham is 430 years. Once we reach the time of Noah, things get a little complicated. From Noah's time and back to Adam, mankind lived much longer. Adam was 930 years old. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, Genesis 7-6. Why? We will address this later. You may notice in my graphic above that I have listed the LDS along with Noah's dispensation. Noah was the example to level 5 souls by preaching the gospel for 120 years, but where were the level 5 souls? To whom belongs the responsibility of preaching the gospel to all the world? Certainly Peter started this effort when he was commanded to go to all nations and preach baptism, Matthew 28:19-20, Though the early church's effort was short-lived, I believe they are included in the level 5 souls whose responsibility is to bring the gospel to the world. We LDS believe that those souls who were born now were reserved. While our generation will be comparable in wickedness to the days of Noah, when the Lord cleansed the earth by flood, there is a major difference this time. God has saved for the final inning some of his stronger and most valiant children, who will help bear off the kingdom triumphantly. You are the generation that must be prepared to meet your God. Ezra Taft Benson to Institute students. Interesting, the Ezra Taft Benson compared our times to Noah's time when teaching the youth of his day that they were preserved to bear off the kingdom. We know the 144,000 are a combination of angels and men, History of the Church, 2 to 260 62, so certainly some of the 144,000 could qualify. However, I believe there are enough evidences to prove that the fifth level of mankind makes up the bulk of the Latter-day Saints. In addition to Ezra Taft Benson's giant hint above, the law of the gospel that aligns to level 5 is the law of the gospel. As I detail in the third article in this series, each dispensation head epitomizes the penultimate, second to final next to Jesus himself, example to his level. Noah preached 120 years without any success. Have you ever heard a missionary return without any conversion stories? I'm not minimizing how difficult that must be, however, Noah leaves us all without excuse. He is the head of the order of level 5 souls who must overcome by obeying the law of the gospel. In the third article, I also make the case that level 6 souls are comprised mostly, if not entirely, by the 144,000, the souls detailed in Revelation to have the seal of the Father in their foreheads. The sixth use of overcometh in Revelation, the eight uses of overcometh forms the basis of all of these articles, promises the name of the Father will be revealed. These seals are not so subtle representations of the fact that these level 6 souls have initiated a higher covenant that, when completed, will merit an audience with the Father, an audience that level 7 souls enjoy as evidenced by Adam, Enoch, and Joseph Smith, all of whom communed with the Father. I believe the presence of James and John at the Mount of Transfiguration is why the Father was hidden in a cloud, Matthew 17-5. As they were also level 6 souls who had not yet ascended. Part 2, The Number 40. The number 40 is a sacred number that represents a period of trial. There were 40 days of rain at the flood, 40 days of fasting before Jesus' ministry began, 40 years of Israel wandering in the wilderness, and Moses himself was 40 years old when he began his ministry, Acts 7:23. Moses was also with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai when he received the commandments, Exodus 34:27-28. What does this number mean? It obviously has some deep spiritual significance. I submit to you that the number 40 represents the first four levels that must be overcome before a soul ascends to the level of increase. The Abrahamic covenant is given in the fourth dispensation. There are three dispensations before Abraham and three after. His dispensation is the bridge between a personal ascension and an outward ascension. Indeed, the laws of the gospel symbolize this ascension. Below is a graphic that aligns the laws to the dispensations demonstrate this principle. The first laws of the gospel are an individual journey of master, levels 1 through 4. The laws of obedience and sacrifice were immediately given to Adam and Eve upon their exodus from the Garden of Eden. This symbolizes the laws that Israel must master to ascend to the order of increase. The next three levels are one of administration. The law of chastity may not seem like a law of administration, but I believe the law symbolizes a higher form of chastity or the pure in heart, Zion. See my third article for more detail on the law of chastity in Zion. This is the level of Enoch who demonstrated the penultimate example of administration of this law. He gathered people and built a civilization so righteous they were taken from the earth into heaven. The final three laws in the graphic above are given in the temple to represent the ascent through each of these levels. Suddenly the flood and the longer pre-flood lifespan makes sense. Noah is the bridge between the dispensations of increase and the dispensations of personal mastery. Four levels must be overcome, they are each a test of personal trial and mastery. Moses was 40 when he began his ministry, to symbolize the fact he had passed these four levels of personal trial. In fact, his ascent to be the prophet of Israel was a personal trial when he chose to side with enslaved Israel over the worldly Egypt when he defended the Israelite, Exodus 2:12. This is a proxy saving that is highly emblematic of the order of beings who administer and suffer on our behalf. The flood represents the bridge between worlds, 40 days. The Savior's 40-day fast represents personal mastery. See? 40 years in the wilderness, does it make more sense now? You must overcome four levels before you can enter the higher level of increase and administration. Moses was with the Lord 40 days before he could descend with the law as proxy lawgiver and ruler of Israel. Part 3, The Symbols of the Promised Lands. The United States of America is one of the two promised lands. This fact is repeated throughout the Book of Mormon, and it is often mentioned in the context of warning. Ether 2:8, and he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whoso should possess this land of promise, from that time henceforth and forever, should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. 9 And now, we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. Whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off. Is that the same promise for the other promised land? There is evidence that the Lord made his promise conditional on Israel's righteousness, but if there is any similar promise to whatsoever nation, I am unable to find one. Deuteronomy 19:8, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers. 9 If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee, beside these 3. 10 That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. It is interesting that historically there has been no great nation to speak of within the borders of modern-day Israel or modern-day USA. Still, the promise given regarding the American Promised Land seems more strict than the promise given to the land of Israel. Why? The answer to this question is found in understanding the difference between New Jerusalem and Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:3, and many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. One city is the law and one is the word. The Father represents justice while the Son represents mercy. Zion, or New Jerusalem, represents justice, the law, and the Father. Jerusalem represents the Son, the Word, John 1, and mercy. So, what does this have to do with the number, order, and symbols of the levels of mankind? The answer lies in which dispensations are associated with which promised land, the symbolism of the flood, and the longevity of life. The first dispensation of Adam began and ended at Adam on the Ammon. The name Ammon is Adamic for God. And though there is no direct translation for Adam on the Ammon, the short sentence likely means Adam walked with God or some variant in the pure Adamic language. This is also the location where Adam and Eve went after being exiled from the Garden of Eden. Finally, this will be the location of a great gathering where Adam will collect the keys and present them to Christ before the millennium, D&C 116. D&C 57:2. Wherefore, this is the land of promise, and the place for the city of Zion. 3 And thus saith the Lord your God, if you will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and a spot for the temple is lying westward, upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse. Independence, Missouri is the center place of Zion. Adam on the Ammon is within 100 miles of Independence. Early contemporaries of Joseph Smith stated that Joseph Smith taught that the Garden of Eden was located in the vicinity of Independence, Missouri. There is a lot of rich history and rich prophecy all within a 100-mile radius of Independence, Missouri. Certainly, the rich history alone makes this area special. But what about the other dispensation heads? Where was Enoch? Part 4, The Symbol of the New Jerusalem. D&C 107 hours 53 minutes 3 years previous to the death of Adam, he called Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, and Methuselah, who were all high priests, with the residue of his posterity who were righteous, into the valley of Adam on the Ammon, and there bestowed upon them his last blessing. 54 And the Lord appeared unto them, and they rose up and blessed Adam, and called him Michael, the prince, the archangel. 55 And the Lord administered comfort unto Adam, and said unto him, I have set thee to be at the head, a multitude of nations shall come of thee, and thou art a prince over them forever. Interesting, there were 8 high priests as there are 8 heads, including Jesus Christ. Enoch was one of these high priests at Adam on the Ammon. The second dispensation head over level 6 beings was at Adam on the Ammon. Did he stay there? Where was the city of Enoch? Enoch was 430 years old when he was translated, and Zion had existed for 365 years before being taken into heaven. Moses 7:68, Moses 8:1, I believe it is a safe assumption that the city of Enoch was in somewhat close proximity. Moreover, we know the city of Enoch will return and meet Zion, the New Jerusalem, upon its return. Moses 7:62, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men, and righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth, unto a place which I shall prepare, in holy city, that my people may gird up their loins, and be looking forth for the time of my coming, for there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. 63 And the Lord said unto Enoch, Then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there, and we will receive them into our bosom, and they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. Though I do not know whether this has been specifically revealed, what if the city of Enoch will return exactly to where it was taken? I have looked up several maps online where saints have taken the measurements of New Jerusalem from the scripture and have drawn its boundaries. The boundaries of the city of New Jerusalem are a square, the length and width of which is described as being 12,000 furlongs, Revelation 21, according to Wikipedia. 12,000 furlongs translates to 2,225 kilometers. According to Google's online calculator, 12,000 furlongs is 2,414 kilometers. These two measurements in miles are 1,383 and 1,500 respectively. Rather than use someone else's map, I made my own. I used Google Maps to measure 750 miles in NSWE of Independence and then overlaid a 1,500-mile perimeter and 1,383-mile perimeter. What I love about writing these articles is the Spirit whispers to me so many new layers of understanding as I compile. As I finished the map, I felt the subtle question in my mind, where is Utah and Arizona in relation to these borders? I have added another layer below showing the states. As you can see, both Utah and Arizona are almost touching the borders of Zion. I smiled and laughed a bit as I realized this because of the huge gathering of saints in both of these states, which symbolizes our longing to be in Zion. We are poised to enter its borders. Joseph Smith failed to establish Zion. I believe this was by design and was expressly his mission to demonstrate how to fail and not fall to the order over which he presides, level 1 or the first estate. Still, the adversary can't help but fight the work of God. This is why the saints were ousted from Missouri and the governor signed an extermination order. This sets the stage beautifully for the end-time servants to gather the saints and establish Zion. They have but to cross its borders. Oddly enough, Colorado and New Mexico have become blue states, almost as if to keep pressure from that red creeping across its borders. But I digress. The Lord tells Enoch, Thou and all thy city meet them there. Take a look again at those boundaries, namely the southern boundary. Isn't it odd that the both boundaries extend into the ocean? That's kind of weird, right? Wrong. The city of Enoch will meet them there and finish the boundary. The city is encompassed by a wall after all. The walls are 144 cubits high, or 216 feet, and are made of jasper, Revelation 21:17-19, so there will likely need to be some solid ground to lay these walls. Pangaea is the name of the supercontinent that existed when all the continents were one. We LDS believe that at the second coming, the earth will become one land mass again. DNC 133:24, and the land of Jerusalem and the land of Zion shall be turned back into their own place, and the earth shall be like as it was in the days before it was divided. Though you can clearly see that the continents fit like puzzle pieces, many of the maps online will bend and twist the continents a bit to fit them back together, and it certainly makes sense that the continents may have changed shape a bit as they moved out of their places. However, to demonstrate the evidence for where the city of Enoch may have been, I had to flex my Photoshop skills and make a layer for North America, South America, and Africa. Like puzzle pieces, I moved them around to see how well I could fit them together without any twisting or distortion of their original shapes, only rotation. In this first image, you can clearly see that North America fits with South America and Africa. Making them fit all at once is a bit of a challenge, however. In this second image above, I line the eastern coast of the United States with the western coast of Africa. However, Central America then overlaps South America. Certainly with some twisting we could make this work, but I wanted to maintain the original shapes and see if the Gulf of Mexico is ever filled up by land. Nope. After rotating North America to fit better with South America, we don't have much overlap, though Africa no longer fits as nicely. In either case, there is a large gap in the Gulf of Mexico. Take a look again at the borders maps above. Doesn't it make sense that the city of Enoch would be somewhat near Adamandi Ammon? Doesn't it fit that the city of Enoch would be that missing puzzle piece of Pangaea? So, we have a preponderance of evidence that the first two dispensation heads took place in North America and then near the modern-day United States of America. Revelation 21:2, and I John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The city of Enoch may just lie within the borders of New Jerusalem by filling up that gap in the Gulf of Mexico when it descends. Part 5, The Symbol of Noah and the Flood. What about the third dispensation of Noah? Thousands, perhaps millions of hours worth of speculation of where the ark landed can be found online and in libraries across the world. But what about where the ark launched? The difference between the launching site and the landing site is another huge symbol that reinforces the seven levels of mankind. Remember, level 5 is the law of the gospel, see Article 3, top left. Noah gives the penultimate example of preaching the gospel by preaching for 120 years with no success, leaving us all without excuse. Level 5 beings are the army of missionaries. They preach and administer the gospel to the lower levels. As such, Noah's dispensation may have begun in or near present-day USA and likely ended in or near the Holy Land of Israel. This symbolizes the bridge between preaching and receiving. Level 4 is the law of sacrifice and level 3 is the law of obedience, two inward laws of self-mastery. The fourth use of overcometh in Revelation details the promise received upon overcoming level 5 and entering level 5. Revelation 2:26-28, and to him who overcometh, and keepeth my commandments unto the end, will I give power over many kingdoms, and he shall rule them with the word of God, and they shall be in his hands as the vessels of clay in the hands of a potter, and he shall govern them by faith, with equity and justice, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Level 5 has power over kingdoms, ruling with the word of God, preaching, and they shall mold peoples and govern by faith, and they receive the morning star. The introduction to Fifth Church mirrors the first, symbolizing that the fifth level beings accompany the first to govern them as they enter a new creation. The flood itself has so many symbols, it can symbolize the divide between the celestial and terrestrial ministries and laws. Remember the laws of sacrifice and obedience, levels 3 and 4, were given immediately to Adam and Eve. Later in the terrestrial world the higher laws are given to grant entry into the celestial kingdom, levels 5, 6, and 7. This divide can also symbolize the divide of increase. Level 5 is the first level of governance and increase, compared to Article 2, top left. What other symbols are there to reinforce this idea? Adam lived to nearly 1,000 years old and his posterity lived for hundreds of years. Noah lived to 950 years, Genesis 9:29. By the fourth dispensation, Abraham lived to be 175 years old. By the third dispensation, Moses lived to be 120 years old, Deuteronomy 34:7. In Genesis 11, the ages of Noah's descendants are given. Take a look at the decreasing years immediately after the flood. Shem 600. Arphaxad 438. Shelah 433. Eber 464. Peleg 239. Reu 239. Serug 230. Nahor 148. Terah 205. Abraham 175. Moses 120. But why? What does it all mean? I believe there are several symbols involved. First, and foremost, the first three dispensations are the dispensation of Melchizedek, without beginning of days or end of life, Hebrews 7:3, as we are now in the time of the Gentiles, level 2. The time of level 5, 6, and 7 are there three levels of increase and governance symbolizing increase. An increase in years certainly symbolizes this eternal truth as mankind would be able to add much more increase to their lives while living to the ripe old age of nearly 1,000 years. In the temple, we are instructed to change the robes from the shoulder that symbolizes the Aaronic order to the Melchizedek upon entering the terrestrial kingdom. We make this change upon entering a new world. The earth will return to a terrestrial order at the millennium, and mankind will live longer lives once again. D&C 101 hours 30 minutes in the day. An infant shall not die until he is old, and his life shall be as the age of a tree. Though we refer to the East as the Old World, the Americas are truly the Old World. As Noah left the Old World and the earth was flooded, the dispensations transitioned from Melchizedek dispensations to the Aaronic. After the ministry of Joseph, the Israelites were enslaved for 430 years, and then the dispensation of Moses only ever included the lesser law. Only one tribe was even allowed to have the lesser priesthood. Shorter lives are a symbol of these dispensations of the times of the lesser orders, or Aaronic orders. The rope switch in the temple is accompanied by the symbol of the flood, a divide into starting anew, though the symbol is given in reverse order as the dispensations order and order of governance themselves are inverted. First dispensation is over level 7, second is over level 6, etc. Part 6, the order of level 5. But what about Joseph Smith? Why was his ministry back on this side of the world? Joseph Smith is over the lowest level, but he also ushers in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Remember, I also believe that the time of level 5 beings was supplanted to superimpose the level 2 beings, or the time of the Gentiles. The promises to the Gentiles are all throughout the Book of Mormon, promises given to those who accept the gospel and curses to be had by those who reject. But who delivers on these promises? Level 5. Level 5 is one of the higher orders of increase, so of course our base of operations is back in the good old USA. This is the promised land for us, for levels 5 through 7. Israel is the promised land for levels 3 and 4. Those who leave level 2 are being guided and coached by the level 5 beings, largely in the United States of America. Another symbol of this is Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph and the two tribes that came from a tribe. All other tribes were a generation older. This symbolized the fact that those who are born into Ephraim and Manasseh came from an earlier generation and are therefore older beings, sons of the morning who govern the younger tribes of Israel. The Book of Mormon is about the descendants of Manasseh who were promised would be gathered by Ephraim. Ephraim is the birthright tribe of all of Israel, not Judah. So why was Jesus Christ born in the promised land of the younger tribes? Part 7, The Symbol of the Timing of the Lord's Birth. Jesus Christ was born at the end of the fifth dispensation, Moses, to fulfill the time of level 3 and begin the time of level 2. So he is born at the end of the times of all of the house of Israel. This means each dispensation of God's people had to look forward to the time of the Savior, which would of course require even more faith. Most of them didn't know his name. The Jews at the time of Christ were expecting the temporal Messiah, not the spiritual Messiah. Now at the advent of the time of the Gentiles have an easier time as there is a name and a ministry as given by four witnesses along with the teachings of his disciples to invite as many as will come and join Israel through baptism, through adoption. As I have studied these levels and have uncovered so many new layers of truth, one fact is evident, that as time moves forward during the telestial period of earth, the dispensations move from the higher order beings to the lesser, administered by the higher orders. I believe this is why the 10 tribes were carried away and why they are purposefully lost to the world. Given this principle of descent and orders, then Judah would be the least of the tribes. This would explain how and why they would reject their own God. They are the least spiritually advanced of God's people, at least in the sense of the least amount of light and knowledge currently possessed. So, Jesus Christ is born to the least of the tribes as a symbol of his love for the least of his people, as a symbol of descending below all to gather as many as he can to ascend back up through the levels of mankind. He is born at the bridge of the time of the Jews to the time of the Gentiles where everyone else who will is invited to join. If you can imagine these dispensations as rungs on a ladder, with Adam's dispensation on top, and Joseph Smith's on the bottom, Jesus Christ appears exactly where he is supposed to, at the gate. He is the gate between the Gentiles and the least of God's people. The times and seasons are symbols of this process whereby we ascend Jacob's ladder. Part 8, Conclusion. So why are dispensations 1, 2, 3 and 7, which are over souls 7, 6, 5, and 1 respectively, all taking place on the New Jerusalem side of the world? Let's recap what the Promised Land symbolize. The American Promised Land. Adam, first dispensation over level 7. Enoch, second dispensation over level 6. Noah, third dispensation over level 5. Joseph, seventh dispensation accompanied by level 5 and 6. The Melchizedek Priesthood. Dispensations 1, 2, 3 and 7 all had it. The New Jerusalem, the Law. Justice. The Father. Longer life, Joseph Smith's dispensation will usher in again. Increase. A land of milk and honey. The Promised Land of Israel. Abraham, fourth dispensation over level 4. Moses, fifth dispensation over level 3. Peter, sixth dispensation over level 2. The Aaronic Priesthood. Dispensation 4 was enslaved, and 5 was bound to the Levitical Priesthood. Dispensation 2 was brief and comprised of level 5 and 6 beings who were given the Melchizedek Priesthood. Jerusalem, the Word. Mercy. The Son. Shorter life. Slavery, bondage, captivity. There are microcosms of many of these symbols. For example, missionaries usually receive the Melchizedek Priesthood in their endowments just before embarking. These are symbols of what we are given in heaven when we become sons and daughters of the morning. We are endowed with power and increase upon joining level 5. Level 5 is the most numerous of the higher orders and is the workhorse of preaching the gospel to the world. Jesus Christ first appeared at the beginning of the time of the Gentiles, and his second coming will be at the end of the time of the Gentiles. The Lord is the padding to this time because the time of the Gentiles is symbolic of the second estate, the telestial period of earth. The Gentiles elected to come here when they kept their first estates. Now the Lord is gathering as many as will come to keep their second estates. In my prior article, The Levels of Mankind and the Rainbow, I presented how the rainbow and the double rainbow symbolize the seven levels of mankind. Interestingly enough, the rainbow reinforces the theme of this article. The last three colors represent the first three dispensations. In the enhanced image below, You can see clearly the final three colors all seem variants of the same shade, whereas the first four colors are stark and vibrant. The seventh color is nearly invisible. I believe this is a symbol of the similarity between the final three levels. They are all orders of Melchizedek working in unison to govern and administer to the lower orders. They become increasingly difficult to see because from our telestial perspective we cannot see the order of eternities. Moreover, levels 6 and 7 especially operate largely from beyond the veil. The color of level 5 is clearly visible because they are the boots on the ground. Level 7 is the highest order of governance, led by Michael himself largely from beyond the veil. All of these symbols tie together and reinforce this model. Finally, I plan to write another article on the seal of Melchizedek and how these symbols found in this seal also reinforce the levels of mankind, namely the two phases of ascent, the Aaronic and the Melchizedek. The symbols of the temple and the garment align with this great symbol to tie it all together. I also may write another article on how the two witnesses may align to the New Jerusalem and to Jerusalem, one representing justice and the other mercy. Stay tuned. Update: after posting some of this information on letsfreedomforum.com, one of the members, Seek for Truth, found the following two quotes to support the claim that Joseph Smith taught that the city of Enoch was indeed from the Gulf of Mexico and will return to its original location. Wilford Woodruff's Journal. March 30, 1873. Altar of Adam at Adamondi, Ammon. Again, President Young said, "Joseph the prophet told me that the Garden of Eden was in Jackson Co., Missouri, and when Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden he went about 40 miles to the place which we named Adamondi Ammon, and there built an altar of stone and offered sacrifice. That altar remains to this day. I saw it as Adam left it, as did many others, and through all the revolutions of the world that altar has not been disturbed." Joseph also said that when the city of Enoch fled and was translated, it was where the Gulf of Mexico now is. It left that gulf a body of water. Joseph Young, Enoch and His City, pamphlet, p. 12, footnote. Joseph Smith said on another occasion, in the hearing of some of the saints still surveying, that the city of Enoch would again take its place in the identical spot from which it had been detached, now forming that chasm of the earth, filled with water, called the Gulf of Mexico. Source.